In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, reader John just finished reading one of those places in the epistle where we are reminded, actually we are commanded, to rejoice in the Lord only when things are going well. No, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, the Lord, throughout his ministry, was doing mighty work and many acts of love and mercy. But if you look at the Gospels, you'll find that of his 30-year life, one half of John's Gospel is dedicated to the last 7 days of his life. And the same thing is quite true of the other gospel narratives of the life and ministry of Jesus, that in Matthew, we have the last 8 chapters dedicated to Holy Week, in Mark, the last 6 chapters, and in Luke, the last 5 chapters are dedicated solely to Holy Week, to the life and the events of Jesus as he goes to Golgotha, lays down his life, and then is raised on the 3rd day. At the beginning of this, the last week of Jesus' life, he said, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now my soul is troubled. But what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Father, glorify your name." Jesus didn't enter into Holy Week with a flippant kind of, "Oh, I'm just going to rejoice always." The closer that Jesus got to the crucifixion, the more the truth of what was laid on him and the responsibility that he had and the suffering that he would endure affected him. At the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed 3 times, "Lord, if possible, take this cup from me." And he sweat, as it were, drops of blood. "But not my will, but your will be done." So it's not an easy thing. We could say, well, you know, you're God. It should be easy for you. We're just normal mortals. When we suffer the things of this life, we could expect that we can't rejoice, we can't find it in us to have faith, to trust and believe. But you, it's got to be easy for you, Lord. No. When we enter into the sufferings of this life, we do that. And we need to weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. But we do it in faith. Just as Jesus entered this last week of his life in faith, so must we. I was talking with someone this past week about a passage in John's Gospel, chapter 7, where Jesus, it says, was not going to go to the Feast of Tabernacles, and then he went. I just want to read a couple of those verses for you. "Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. And Jesus' brothers therefore said to him, 'Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples may also see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world.' For even his brothers did not believe in him. Then Jesus said, 'My time has not yet come. My time has not yet come. Your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet come. And when he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. My time has not yet come. Mark is known to be the gospel where we have what's called the messianic secret. When Jesus did mighty works for people, he would say, don't tell anybody. Just keep it down. Keep it down. Why? Because his time had not yet come. He didn't do things openly so that everyone would see it and wonder. He did signs and miracles that pointed. But in this week, in Holy Week, at the triumphal entry, his time had come. That's why we have the triumphal entry. That's why Jesus said, get the donkey, get the ass and the colt of an ass, and get ready. We are going to celebrate. We are going to inaugurate the coming of the King into the holy city, knowing what was going to happen. That the King was going to be glorified. He was going to bring peace to his people by going to the cross, by dying for us, and then rising in victory. His time had come. That's what happened in Holy Week. That's why we have such a great emphasis of the Gospels on this last week of Jesus' life. His time had come. What about Lazarus? I don't know if you've noticed this, but we've been singing over and over again the last several days. And now here it's Palm Sunday, we still can't stop singing about Lazarus and how he was raised. But I want you to notice with me that what we're saying in these songs and what we're celebrating in the resurrection of Lazarus is the love and compassion of Christ and the assurance that what he is going through in this last week is for the resurrection of all of us. It's a sign. The raising of Lazarus is a sign assuring us, and the word is confirm in the songs, confirming the universal resurrection. Jesus, in the Gospels, is said to have raised three people from the dead in his ministry. And then the last of those three is Lazarus. But in each case, the people that he raised are raised and they're going to die again. They're raised to this life, and they have not been raised to the glory of the life to come. Jesus raised Jairus' daughter, who was 12 years old. He raised the widow's only son at Nain, and he raised Lazarus. If you look at each of these three accounts of resurrection, you find that Jesus in each case is filled with compassion. In the case of Jairus' daughter, Jesus assures Jairus, saying, don't be afraid, don't weep. And in the case of the widow's only son, Jesus came into the city of Nain and saw the widow in the funeral procession. And it says, Jesus saw her and had compassion on her and said, do not weep. Then he touched the coffin and said, young man, arise. And he presented the young man to his mother. And then, of course, we have the story of Lazarus. Did Jesus weep? The shortest but the most wonderful verse in Scripture. When he came to Lazarus' death, he couldn't control it. He wept. And they said, oh, look at him. Look how he loved Lazarus. It is because of his love and compassion that he raised people in his ministry. But in each of these resurrections, it was a this life resurrection. They were all resurrected back to this life, and therefore they died again. They were not raised to the life of the age to come. They were not raised a spiritual body, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. They were not raised incorruptible, where at Christ's second coming, our mortal body will put on immortality. Christ had to go through Holy Week for the sake of Lazarus so that he would be raised to a life beyond this age. St. Paul said it so well in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most to be pitied." We would pity Lazarus. We would pity the son of the widow. We would pity the son of the widow and of Jairus' daughter. We would pity them. If only in this life Jesus were able to and did raise the dead. Jesus had to go through Holy Week. He had to go to the cross. And he had to trample down death by death to give life to us and assurance of life forever in eternity. Jesus is entering into Jerusalem. Notice that as he enters into Holy Week, he is not entering as one who is a hapless victim, but he enters as king. You know, in his earthly ministry, as I pointed out, he did not want people even to identify him openly as the Messiah king. He didn't want it. They weren't ready. The ministry wasn't at that point yet. But now he says openly, "Yes, I am the king. I'm the king of Israel. And I'm the king of the world. And I use my kingly power to establish my kingdom, which will be a kingdom of peace forever." So this is a brilliant and glorious feast day, and the church calls us to rejoice. The crowds cried out for joy as Jesus humbly and peacefully entered Jerusalem and put himself on that motion in which his suffering and death would culminate in his glorious resurrection. The triumphal entry marks the beginning of Holy Week. And why do we rejoice? We rejoice because he is the King who brings peace. In order to bring us peace, he must save us because we are held in bondage to the enemy of our souls and bodies. We are held in bondage to Satan, to sickness, and to death. And that is why the crowd sang Hosanna. Hosanna is really a combination of words. It's a phrase in Aramaic which means, literally, "Save us now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Triumphal entries were common in the ancient world. When a hero or a king returned from a battle in which he had conquered the enemies of the people, as he returned to his city, the crowds would go out to meet him and welcome their triumphant and returning king. Jesus enters into Jerusalem, the holy city, as the King who brings peace. When the aged Simeon took the baby Jesus in his arms, he blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And this peace is not a matter of living calmly and with good feelings in a world of evil. It is not that we learn to live at peace with the devil and with sin. In the last chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, he writes, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." And then he says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." The peace which Jesus Christ gives to us comes at great cost to Jesus. In his cross, he triumphs over death. And Jesus said, "Now is the time for judgment in this world. Now the prince of this world will be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." Christ's peace is our reconciliation to God. In Colossians chapter 1, again, it's the Apostle Paul who says, "It pleased the Father to reconcile all things to himself by Christ, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." Jesus enters into Jerusalem triumphantly with glory. It's a brilliant entry, going to the cross. And the crowds came shouting, "Hosanna." The ones who had just witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus, they came behind Jesus. They followed him from Bethany. And then the crowds in Jerusalem, they went out to meet him because they had heard that Jesus was here. They had heard all the great things he had done. People from Jews from all over the world were there in Jerusalem for Pascha. They heard, so they came. All these people came with palm branches. With branches of trees, they threw him down in the way. "Hosanna, King of the Jews, Lord save us. Lord bring peace. Lord deliver us from our enemies. You are the King, in you do we put our trust." Today we're going to join the voices of those people. We're entering into Holy Week. Christ is going to go the way of the cross. He's going to suffer. It's going to be hard. But he goes as our King. He's not a hapless victim. He goes triumphantly. And he tramples down death by his death and gives us all life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.